this scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube-streamed worship service from St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on the 2nd of August 2026. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 14. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Lord Jesus, we come to you with hands that often feel empty and hearts that are sometimes weary. Feed us again with your grace so that we may discover your abundance and become bread for the world. Amen. I wonder what your first thought is most mornings, not the one you say out loud, the quieter one underneath. Maybe it's the one that sounds like, "Will I have enough? Enough energy for the day? Enough money for the next bill? Enough patience for that difficult conversation at work today? Enough hope after watching the evening news?" Sometimes, if we're really honest, "Will I have enough faith?" Scarcity has a way of becoming the soundtrack of our lives. It whispers that there isn't enough to go around. So we better hold on tightly to what we have. And the strange thing is that we can believe that lie even when we have far more than most people in the world. And perhaps that's why today's story continues to speak with such freshness to our experience, because today's story doesn't begin with abundance. It begins with grief. In the previous few verses before the passage that we heard today, Matthew tells us that Jesus has just heard about the execution of John the Baptist. Now, John wasn't simply another prophet. He was family. He was the one who had baptized Jesus. He was the voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Messiah. And now he has been murdered because he dared to tell the truth to a ruler who preferred comfort over justice. Jesus hears this and then gets into a boat and heads for a deserted place. And honestly, who could blame him? Maybe sometimes we imagine Jesus moving serenely throughout life, untouched by ordinary human emotions. But the Gospels don't let us believe that, because Jesus grieves. Jesus gets tired. Jesus needs time alone. And I find that really comforting, because there are moments when we all long for a deserted place, aren't there? A quiet place to catch our breath after bad news, or maybe after disappointment, or after loss, after simply caring too much for too long. And yet the crowds find him. Of course they do. They're sick. They're anxious. They're desperate. They're searching. They're hungry in more ways than one. And then we hear, he had compassion for them. He wasn't annoyed. He wasn't frustrated. He wasn't saying, I just need some space. He had compassion. The Greek word that Matthew uses is wonderfully earthy. It describes something that happens deep inside a person. Your heart twists. Your stomach turns. Someone else's pain becomes impossible to ignore. So Jesus doesn't simply notice that they're suffering. He actually feels it inside. I don't know about you, but there are sometimes days when I wonder whether God really notices the suffering of this world. When we see war continuing, another natural disaster, another act of violence, there's another family struggling to pay the rent, another elderly neighbour who sits alone with no company. Does God see? Well, Matthew answers this before we've even asked the question. Yes, God sees. God's heart is moved. Compassion isn't something that Jesus simply does. It is who he is. And that's where the miracle begins in this story, not with bread, but with compassion. So Jesus spends the day healing people, and eventually evening arrives, and the disciples approach him with what sounds like a perfectly reasonable suggestion, I think. Send the crowds away. They're not being uncaring, they're just being practical. It's late, they're miles from anywhere, and people need dinner. They're thinking, this is beyond us. If we're honest, we probably have suggested the same thing. When the need becomes overwhelming, one of the easiest responses is simply to send it somewhere else. Someone else can deal with it. Someone with more time, someone with more money, someone with more expertise in project management, someone else. But Jesus gently interrupts their logic. He says, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. You can almost hear the silence, can't you? Us? Have you counted these people? There are thousands of them. The disciples take stock. 5 loaves, 2 fish, and that's all. Or as they put it, we have nothing except. And I love that sentence because it sounds really familiar. I do it, you probably do too. I haven't really got anything except a little time or except one spare room in my house or except a listening ear or except I could pray, except my ordinary life. Scarcity teaches us to call our gifts nothing. Jesus looks at exactly the same bread and fish and sees something entirely different. He doesn't ask whether it's enough. He simply says, bring them here to me. Not come back when you've got more. Just bring what you've got. Bring your grief. Bring your doubts. Bring your tiredness. Bring your ordinary life. Bring your imperfect faith. Because Jesus has always been remarkably good at working with what people believe isn't enough. Think about the whole story of Scripture. Moses had a shepherd's staff. David had a sling. Mary had a frightened yes. The disciples have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Again and again, God seems strangely uninterested in impressive resources. God simply asks people to trust enough to place what they have into God's hands. So perhaps the first miracle in this story isn't that bread multiplies. Perhaps it is that the disciples let go of the little that they had. And then Matthew slows everything down in the story. Jesus takes the bread. He looks towards heaven. He blesses it. And then he breaks it. He gives it. Take, bless, break, give. Those actions echo through the rest of Matthew's gospel. When we hear them again in the upper room on the night before Jesus dies, we recognize them immediately. Long before Jesus says, "This is my body," he's already been showing his disciples what the kingdom of God looks like. A kingdom where bread is shared, where nobody is turned away, where God's generosity overflows. You know, there's another meal in this chapter too, just before this passage. Matthew has deliberately placed these two banquets side by side. The previous meal is Herod's birthday feast, and it has everything that the world admires. It has power, it has luxury, it has important guests, it has fine food, and it has entertainment. Yet it ends with John the Baptist's head carried in on a platter. A banquet of wealth that produces death. Then Jesus prepares another meal. No palace, no servants, no fine furniture, just grass and dust, children, old people, people carrying sickness and grief, people who would never have received an invitation to Herod's table. Yet this table is the one that gives life. One kingdom is built on fear and power, and the other on compassion and generosity. One protects privilege. The other feeds whoever is hungry. And Matthew quietly asks us, which table looks more like the kingdom of God? And I really love this next bit. Jesus doesn't hand the bread directly to the crowd. He gives it to the disciples. The disciples give it to everyone else. Can you imagine them? A few minutes earlier, they'd been convinced that there wasn't enough. And now they're walking through thousands of people with baskets that never seem empty. I wonder when it dawned on them. Was it halfway through the crowd? Three quarters of the way? Did one of them stop and look into the basket and think, "Oh, wow, there's still bread"? That's often how grace works. Not with fireworks or dramatic music. We usually only notice it afterwards. We look back and think, "I honestly don't know how we survived that year. I don't know where the strength came from. I don't know how forgiveness was possible. I don't know why I didn't give up." And perhaps the answer is simply this. Christ kept placing bread into our basket again and again and again. You know, one of the great lies that we can tell ourselves is that God can only use people who have everything together. The gospel never says that. Jesus didn't say, "Come back when you've got 12 loaves." He said, "Bring the five." He says, "Bring yourself." Because grace has never depended on extraordinary people. Have you read the Bible? It's always depended on an extraordinarily gracious God. Matthew finishes this story with one last detail. There are 12 baskets left over, one for every disciple. I can imagine Jesus smiling as he says, "You thought you were going to run out. Now carry this abundance home." What a gentle lesson. God's generosity is not merely sufficient, but it overflows. Not so that we become wasteful, but so that we learn to trust. Because this is the economy of God's kingdom. Grace, abundance, sharing. Of course, that doesn't mean that there aren't real shortages in our world, because there are. People are hungry. People are lonely. People long for justice. People are displaced by war and climate disasters. And families wonder how they'll pay their bills. This miracle reminds us that God's response to human need has always been compassionate people carrying bread. Sometimes that bread is food. Sometimes it's friendship. Sometimes it's advocacy. Sometimes it's hope. Sometimes it's simply sitting quietly beside someone whose world has fallen apart. And if you've ever felt like that, you know what it is to have someone sit with you. As a church, we're not really called to explain away suffering, but we are called to embody Christ's compassion in the middle of it. Every Sunday we come to another table. We don't come because we've finally become faithful enough or generous enough or compassionate enough. We come because we're hungry. Hungry for mercy. Hungry for forgiveness. Hungry for hope. Hungry for Christ. And every week, Jesus does exactly what he did on that Galilean hillside. He takes, he blesses, he breaks, and he gives. He places the bread of life into our hands, and somehow there is always enough. Enough grace for another week. Enough forgiveness for another failure. Enough courage for another act of love. Enough strength to begin again. There is always enough Christ. So perhaps that's Christ's invitation to us this week. Don't worry about becoming extraordinary. Simply take whatever seems small in your life and place it into Christ's hands. Offer your kindness, offer your listening ear, offer your presence, offer your prayers. Offer your welcome to people. Offer your ordinary life. Because you may discover, as the disciples did, that in the hands of Jesus, ordinary things become signs of the kingdom. Because that is what grace does. It takes what looks like not enough and reveals the astonishing abundance of God's love. And that abundance is not only for us. It is for every person who is still hungry for bread, for hope, for justice, for belonging, for eternal life, and for Christ himself. Amen.